Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Monday, start of another work week, start of another week of local sports talk here on 1600 KGYM. Spencer on Sports, name of the program at 2:05 on August 14th of 2023. Coming to you live on the AM dial 1600, FM dial 102.3 and 106.3 in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, respectively. Find us streaming online, kgymradio.com. Also, on the free-to-download KGYM Sports Radio app. Download it today and fire up the stream from wherever you are. Also, find the show in podcast form if you missed anything from last week, week before, 6 months ago. If you wanted to go back and listen to NBA playoff breakdown, that wasn't 6 months ago. But if you just really wanted to go back and listen to my terrible predictions of how the Milwaukee Bucks were going to win the NBA championship, hey, whatever floats your boat. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac Alug for the ride as well. 319-366-1600, talk or text line open for you here. As always, on a Monday afternoon as we kick off four straight hours of local programming here on KGYM. Plenty to get to today. We'll dive into a little Major League Baseball action. You heard the news at the top of the show, SportsCenter. Wander Franco taking some time away from the Rays. The MLB investigating some allegations made on social media. If anything new comes of that story, we'll certainly bring it to you here on the program today. Take a look at the weekend that was in baseball and kind of the synopsis. We usually do that to start the brand new week. It's a transition day from last week to this week, so we take a look at what happened over the weekend in Major League Baseball. Some important series starting this week. We'll get into all that before 3 o'clock here today. Also get to a little preseason NFL action, full weekend of NFL football. Some good moments, some bad moments. We'll break that all down for you in the hour to come here this afternoon. And I got to take a second opportunity to go through our good, bad, and the ugly from the weekend. Brand new segment, just started it last week. So if you have nominations about a sports moment or moments that fit one of the categories, good, bad, or ugly, you can chime in at 319-366-1600. I'll share mine coming up here. We'll do that second segment just after 2:30 or so here this afternoon. I'm going to start with a little college football news and notes from the weekend. Of course, we had Media Day in Iowa City on Friday. Heard from Kirk Ferentz during Friday's local programming, and heard some more from the players. Kids Day at Kinnick on Saturday, and I will break down that. If you have any reactions, if you attended Kids Day at Kinnick on Saturday, you want to share your thoughts, you're welcome to do that also on the talk or text line at 319-366-1600. Get to that here momentarily. Here's some more audio from the players from Media Day on Friday, some of their thoughts on the season to come here for Iowa football, which is what, 3 weeks? No, 2 weeks from this coming Saturday. We are a week away from week zero as of this coming Saturday, which is August 26th, and that means we're 2 weeks away from everybody else getting underway on the week of September 2nd. Of course, there are a few games earlier in the week, but soon college football will be upon us, and as the old holiday Christmas song goes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Bet you didn't think I'd belt out some, was it Andy Williams? Those songs are covered so many times throughout, like, all of history that you could just plug that in with any version, and doesn't necessarily have to be the traditional standard version, but it truly is the most wonderful time of the year, in my humble opinion, when you get into college football season and March Madness and that season where it's like all the sports kind of melding together. The month of October, essentially, September into October, you got baseball, you got some early season NBA, you got some college hoops, camps starting up, practices starting up. That's probably the best time, but still, you can't beat college football, can you? Isaac's here as well. How was the weekend for you?
It was good. The race went, I think, pretty well on yesterday.
Yep.
Other than that, soccer, club soccer is back. Just taking a lot of that.
How'd your team do this weekend?
They are currently playing right now.
Oh, right now. Okay, I will stop bothering you. Okay.
No, you're. Well, it's my job, so technically you're allowed to.
If I see you hitting your head repeatedly against the desk, this is like what we usually do. Like this happened, I think last year around this time, or at some point in the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. If I see you with your head buried in your hands, or you're repeatedly hitting your head against the desk, I will know what's happening.
Yeah, I think the last time that they played during your show, they lost 3-0. So that was not a fun episode.
Maybe it's this show that's bad luck. I don't know, but I'll make sure to check and see. Like I'll turn your mic down like for now, just in case there is any. Now you know, no swearing in the like. You're technically not in the studio, but you're in the producer booth, so you can't.
Yes, they tell us all the time. You never know when a mic is hot.
Mic is live, right? Yeah. So I just reminder of that. I don't want to lose my job because your soccer team didn't do so well. 319-366-1600. Talk or text line is open here this afternoon for you. Happy Monday, like I said at the top of the show. But let's dive in from what we saw over the weekend. We'll get to good, bad, and the ugly here in just a moment. But interesting weekend when it comes to local sports scene, especially with the Kids Day at Kinnick. I don't feel like there's too much you can glean from kind of a one small sample size, an open practice at Kinnick Stadium. But if you went on Saturday, you saw defense perform well. The offense still have a few hiccups here and there. Of course, the big talk of everybody. I was on social media Saturday afternoon doing some stuff around the house. Just took a little break. Fire up the old Twitter machine, X machine, whatever we're calling it, as I always make that joke, and the sky was falling. And, you know, reasonable to have some concern, but all things considered, doesn't sound like as bad as it could have been. Of course, speaking about Cade McNamara, quarterback one, QB one for the Hawkeyes. Iowa fans, of course, getting kind of a scare on Saturday. He did leave the practice, went down in the field kind of awkwardly, left the practice early with an injury. The good news is, again, as of Saturday, have not had an updated piece of info from Kirk Ferentz or anybody at the University of Iowa. But Kirk Ferentz saying to reporters after Kids Day on Saturday that it was what he called a muscle issue and that he wasn't alarmed at this point. If you missed it, McNamara had to scramble. Cade McNamara had to scramble and then essentially tripped. Kind of seemed like a turf monster thing at first, just seeing the video replay on social media on Saturday. Kind of gingerly got up, walked himself off the field on practice, left to the locker room, and did return to the sideline, but did not really have any issues walking under his own power. So a little bit of a scare there. I know kind of going through the I use the For You tab. I know people, you know, kind of rip on the For You tab on Twitter or whatever, but usually kind of gets me posts that I might not have seen from people and maybe I don't follow that follow certain teams and stuff like that. And a lot of people obviously holding their collective breaths. And you know, when you see a quarterback that's, you know, had a lot of good things said about him, expected to lead this offense to a brighter season, if you will, in 2023, you certainly want him to be fully healthy. And coming off the knee surgery that he had in the off season, and in last season, that kind of kept him out of the team drills in the early part of camp. Certainly, you know, have to take some pause, and you want to make sure that he is healthy. But as of Saturday afternoon after the practice, Kirk Ferentz saying he was not alarmed, which was the direct quote from Kirk. Which usually the coach is not alarmed. Certainly sounds like things are okay, at least for now, but remains to be seen how that impacts Cade McNamara's availability going forward when it comes to practice, when it comes to workouts with the team as we get closer and closer to the start of the season. Of course, one of the big storylines, or one of the, I guess, not really big storylines, but underlying storylines from Friday that we had talked about both here and when I filled in on the Todd Brommelkamp show, was the quarterback two situation. Saturday at Kids Day, obviously with McNamara pulling himself out, with that that injury scare. Deacon Hill, the really only other healthy quarterback on the roster. Deacon Hill was essentially anointed the QB2 as of Friday at Media Day. Kirk Ferentz revealing that Joe Labus has been out with an injury. So it's essentially Deacon Hill and any other backups that are on the roster. Marco Linez, who's a true freshman, is on the roster. But obviously you don't want your hands, the hands of your team, to be in a true freshman, not at this point, essentially, although probably better to be in that situation here in camp as opposed to going into week one with Utah State on the schedule on a Saturday mid-morning. But certainly that was one of the key headlines from camp, from Kids Day, I should say, on Saturday, the health, the injury scare with Cade McNamara, but all signs pointing it to being not as big an issue as initially feared. When it comes to Cade's health in general, he was asked about kind of where he's at health-wise on Friday at Media Day, and this is what the Hawkeyes do, quarterback one. I had to say about where he's at health-wise heading into 2023 after off-season of surgery and recovery from that. Here's what Iowa's quarterback had to say on Friday at Media Day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my body's felt... It feels better right now than it's ever felt in my entire life. I mean, I really took the time after surgery to, you know, reevaluate my diet, the way I've been working out, everything, and I've seen nothing but, like, really a huge growth from where I was this season, I mean, this time last season, to where I am now. And, I mean, knee-wise, everything-wise, I feel 100%, and I mean, I'm just so fired up. We're ready to go, and my body's ready to go, too.
Cade McNamara from Friday at Media Day in Iowa City talking about his health and where he stands going into the season here. Obviously, more eyes will be on him with that injury scare from Saturday, but certainly could have ended up, at least based on what we know now, a lot worse. As for the offense as a whole, all eyes were on the offense. We talked to Rob Howe when I filled in for Todd on Friday, and he said, you know, when it comes to not just you know, the remaining days of camp, but also Kids Day and even into the start of the season, a lot of the questions still remain on offense. And saw some flashes watching the video clips on social media over the weekend. You had, some nice plays, some plays that I'm sure quarterback and receiver and running back would like back. But again, you think, at this point, you know, still working out the kinks. It's one small sample size. So, you know, maybe you have a bad day in front of the fans, but you have another good day when fans are not allowed to see your practice. It just kind of the ebbs and flows of practice, right? But overall, you know, some good things and I think some bad things, maybe some things that still need to be corrected when it comes down to it here for the Iowa football team with Kids Day on Saturday. A number of players did not take part on Saturday as well. Not an exhaustive list by any means, but we heard Kirk Ferentz say on Friday, part of his news conference, that a number of guys not dealing with serious injuries, but they're dealing with soft tissue injuries, soft tissue type of issues going forward here, and maybe would not see the field as part of Kids Day on Saturday. Cooper DeGene among those. Ferentz is saying that he was hopeful most of the guys that weren't out on the field, weren't able to take part in practice, will return sometime here in the next week or so. Nico Ragaini, one of the players also not participating. Joe Labus mentioned him as well. A number of players that did not take part in the Kids Day at Kinnick on Saturday. But overall, again, it's tough to take too much away from one practice. You get to see one practice out of all of them, essentially, especially for the fans in attendance. So it's one of those things. It's the old adage, right, Isaac? You paying attention? Yes, you are. It's the old adage, especially when you're talking about, and it's true for college football, it's true for NFL. You see, you know, like I said, maybe a Kids Day, the offense has a bad day against the defense. Maybe on Monday when we can't see what's going on in practice, maybe it's the opposite. It's the ebbs and flows of practice, and it goes back to that old, you know, sports cliche. You can't get too high, you can't get too low about it. It's a sample in time. It's a moment in time, and, you know, all that really matters at this point is that they continue to work on it. You work through any injuries that you have. You continue to work on some of the things that maybe didn't go so well in front of the fans at Kids Day. And if you're ready, you know, for game day coming up on September 2nd, I think that is the only thing that really matters going forward, right?
Yeah, particularly on the offense when you have so many different moving parts coming in there. I think it's unfair to expect everything to look perfect right now. Obviously, I don't think it's even going to look super great or anything against Utah State week one. I think there will still be some things where you're like, oh, that looked kind of awkward or not great sort of thing. And that's the point of kind of playing some of those easier games at the beginning of your schedule. Mm-hmm. You can figure out some of those kinks and work those out. I mean, you wouldn't, I don't know. I don't buy too much into like preseason or training camp record reports in the NFL. Like, this player is dominating everyone at training camp. It's like, okay, cool. Can I see it in actual games, right, sort of thing? So,
a game that matters, yeah, instead of two series against one team that's kind of trying and another team that's kind of doing the old shrug emoji, like, well, it's preseason.
You know? So, you know, obviously there's things you can take away. As long as you see kind of the right trends or whatever, and you see them working on the things that were disappointing, then that's all you can really read into as far as things like this go.
Cade McNamara on Friday asked about the offense and asked, is there a sense of urgency to get this turned around? Like, are you guys gunning for week one to score 35 points and get that average up there? What's the focus of this offense? And I think a good response here from Iowa's quarterback one going into the season.
I think really the only urgency is how close we are to the season. I don't think, you know, a lot of guys are too concerned about what's happened in the past. I mean, what happened in previous years is really not much of a concern. We're just doing everything we can right now, day by day, to make sure that we can put ourselves in the best position to have success this season.
And Cade McNamara from Friday at Media Day in Iowa City. Mason Richmond also available to the media on Friday, among the players that spoke about their position groups and what they're expecting for the new season. One of the big focuses, and we heard Kirk Ferentz talk about this on Friday too, was getting that offensive line to where they want to be. And Kirk said, you know, we're not there yet, but he can see the signs of building maturity and coming together as a unit and really improving on what we saw from last year. And Mason Richmond, among the players that that spoke to that and kind of compared this year's offensive line for the Hawkeyes to last year's group.
I think it's a different group in terms of mentality and stuff like that. You know, last year was just a little bit different. We had a different amount of guys and group of guys, and also the younger guys weren't as able to be young, honestly. You know, we always say the line last year was young and didn't have a lot of experience or anything like that. But at the same time, I think it's just a growing year. It's a transition year. And, you know, we're focused on this year and what we can do. And I'm really excited for it. You know, I've loved hanging out with these guys. Everyone in the room is totally committed to, you know, getting better each and every day. Today was one of our better practices we've had. So, yeah, it's just one day at a time, really, with these guys. And everyone's definitely understanding, you know, what we have to accomplish this year and what that takes.
What do they have to accomplish this year, Mason Richmond?
I think it's more togetherness and at the same time just being on the same page with each other. I think sometimes last year we, you know, saw a funky front or something like that, or maybe lined up against somebody and, you know, thought I was completely one-on-one, when at the same time, you know, you have four other guys lined up next to you who can help you out. And yeah, I think just at the end of the day, just being more together. And we've done a good job of that. We've just upped our team chemistry and offensive line chemistry at the same time. So it's been really good for us this season.
Mason Richmond from Friday's Media Day in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. Your takeaways welcome. If you attended Kids Day or have any thoughts about the Iowa football season, you can send those in on the text line at 319-366-1600. The Hawkeyes find themselves ranked in the AP Top 25. Another preseason poll to talk about. We love those around here, don't we? Into the preseason AP Top 25 coming up. Also some news when it comes to Iowa State football as well. One of the players charged last week with tampering with records as part of the DCI's investigation into student-athlete gambling and that probe. One of the players, another player from Iowa State, has left the football team. We'll tell you who coming up in a couple minutes. It's Spencer at Sports right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have a mix of sun and clouds for the rest of the day. Humidity will be dropping and temperatures will be held close to 70 degrees this afternoon. Later on tonight, the clouds will clear and temperatures drop down into the low 50s. As we head into tomorrow, we'll have sunny skies and temperatures will be in the upper 70s. We'll then have a mostly dry and mostly sunny rest of the week with temperatures in the 80s, climbing up toward 90 by the weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Network Computer Solutions, this is Patty.
When you call NCS, Patty answers the phone, looks into your concern, and lets you know how soon one of their local techs will help. It's the human side of IT, and the way Network Computer Solutions has been doing business for 15 years. This high-touch approach makes an uncustomary difference for their customers. See how they can make your business run smoother at ncsei.com. Network Computer Solutions, their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Sitting in a work vehicle is just part of the job, but being uncomfortable isn't. A bad seat can hurt your back and cause an injury that takes you and your vehicle out of commission. Auto Interiors and Convertibles has the solution. They'll overhaul that seat, redo the foam, tune up the springs, and repair the upholstery if it needs it. You won't believe how much better it feels to have your seat in that seat all day. For farm, construction, or service vehicle seat repairs, get in touch with Auto Interiors and Convertibles in Cedar Rapids. AutoInteriorsCR.com.
Get ready for Oktoberfest in Uptown Marion September 16th. Sample tasty suds from 30 Iowa breweries. Enjoy live music and games. Your general admission ticket includes access to breweries and a commemorative tasting glass. There's also a VIP option that gets you in an hour early with exclusive samples and swag. Raise your glass at Oktoberfest September 16th along 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion. Presented by Sheets Forest Draper Insurance and the Marion Chamber of Commerce. Get your tickets now at eventbrite.com. Must be 21 or older.
Advanced Electrical Services is looking for an experience-based journeyman and electrician helpers. This is an excellent chance to start your career or take it up a notch. You'll work full-time, year-round. Come use your skills to do high-quality work for this local, family-owned company with a positive culture and top reputation in the community. Visit advancedelectrical.com to see what they're about. Then call to set up a time to apply in person. Advanced Electrical Services in Iowa City is an equal opportunity employer. Women and minorities are encouraged to apply.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
.227 on the button, Monday edition of Spencer on Sports with you here at KGYM. 319-366-1600, talking some college sports, college football in particular to begin the program. Get to our good, bad, and the ugly from the weekend coming up here in just a few moments. You got nominations. Love to hear from you with those at 319-366-1600. Gym class coming up between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. Todd back today. He's with you from 4 to 6 every weekday afternoon here on KGYM. Spencer and Isaac hanging out with you here this afternoon. Mentioned the AP Top 25. The preseason poll is out. Largely meaningless, but it gives us stuff to talk about. And unlike the coaches' poll, the Iowa football team finds themselves in the rankings. Remember, Iowa was the highest unranked team, essentially number 26 in the coaches' poll. They are number 25 in the preseason AP Top 25, getting 131 points on the poll. Iowa will start the season ranked in the AP poll number 25. Top team in the poll, no surprise, it is the defending national champs in Georgia. They got 60 first place votes. Michigan is number 2, got 2 first place votes. Ohio State, 3rd, getting 1 first place vote. And Alabama, 4th. Is that, did the AP voters just spark Alabama to like a Bama smash kind of season? What do I get the feeling that might be coming our way? I don't know. They're still going to go through Georgia, but Alabama did not get a single first place vote. I feel like that's one of those what a time to be alive things you see on the poll. Like, man, remember when Bama was consistently at number 1 and now, I mean, they're still number 4. Not saying they're, you know, the worst team in college football by any means, but they didn't get a single first place vote. Kind of insane to think, but we'll see how Bama takes that. Do they use that as motivation, or is that just more like rat poison, as Nick Saban likes to call it. Bama is fourth. LSU is fifth. USC is sixth. Penn State is seventh. Florida State eighth. Clemson is ninth. And Washington, soon to be Big Ten member Washington, is number 10 in the poll. Other notables in the poll from the Big 12. Well, next year's Big 12, Utah is 14th, by the way. Also, future Big 10 team Oregon is 15th. Kansas State is 16th. TCU, 17th. Soon to be no longer in the Pac-12. Oregon State is 18th. Wisconsin, the Badgers, who many are picking to win the Big 10 West in its final year of existence. Wisconsin is 19th. And that seems to be it. Texas A&M. Number 23. That always seems to, they always seem to find themselves in the poll, and maybe they don't necessarily deserve to be in the poll. I was reading some prediction. Somebody's picking them to beat Bama and be Bama's only loss this year. We got the bold takes coming out already, and it's only August 14th, but the Hawkeyes are 25th in the AP preseason poll here to start the season. Interesting nugget here from Brett McMurphy from the Action Network on Twitter. Saw this. If you're looking for a team that could win the national championship this year, history says it is either going to be Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, USC, or Penn State. So essentially a team in the top seven. Brett McMurphy pointing out that since 2004, every national champion except for two has started the season ranked in the AP preseason poll's top seven. So if you're looking for this year's national champion, with the exception of two seasons, since 2004, they've all come from the top seven. I think a lot of people are picking Georgia to get another ring, get another title. Maybe Bama knocks them off. Michigan, Ohio State, do they have a shot? All discussions we'll have throughout the season here, but Brett McMurphy pointing out history says it's likely going to be somebody in the AP's preseason top seven. The only two that didn't follow that trend were the 2010 Auburn Tigers and the 2013 Florida State Seminoles. Auburn started ranked number 22, Florida State ranked number 11. Isaac, you are celebrating over there. Something good happened.
I was just trying to think who the two would be.
You got it right.
I thought
you were watching soccer. I thought something was
No, nothing's interesting.
Okay.
Nothing interesting has happened yet. I was just celebrating the fact that I got that right.
I was trying
to think who wouldn't be highly ranked in
Auburn. Yeah, because they beat Oregon, right, in 2010, mm-hmm. and then Florida State was that was the Jameis Winston
right.
year. So, yep. Yeah, there you go. Remember, no, we can't. He's still in the NFL. He played this weekend, but Florida State in 2013, the most recent, 10 years ago. Maybe it's the year history repeats itself. I don't know. Maybe it is. Other news from the college world before we move on here today. News in the gambling probe. This has to do with Iowa State. Isaiah Lee, one of the players charged last week in the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigations probe into student-athlete gambling, has left the Iowa State football program. As confirmed by the Des Moines Register, Lee was among the players charged with tampering with records for allegedly disguising his identity to place those online sports bets. That's according to the criminal complaints that we talked about last week. These charges filed in Story County. Lee accused of betting on 12 Iowa State football games, including a bet against his team in the 2021 game against Texas. That's according to the criminal complaint. Iowa State did end up winning that game, and Lee had one tackle in the contest. He's accused of placing 115 bets for a total of over $885. So a total of $885 for 115 bets. Lee is the second Iowa State player to leave the program after being charged. Dodge Souser, the offensive lineman, left the program last week after facing those charges. Of course, still plenty of news to come from that situation, but the Des Moines Register reporting and having confirmed that Isaiah Lee did leave the team. Lee was a starter. Four players charged last week were all starters for Iowa State. Lee specifically started all 12 games and had 22 tackles for the Cyclones. 319-366-1600 at 2:34. Let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout and come back with our good, bad, and the ugly from the sports weekend. There are plenty of good moments. There are plenty of bad moments. And boy, there are sure plenty of ugly moments as well. We'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes right here. Spencer on Sports with you on 1600 KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for sports.
Welcome to Money Mondays with Farmers State Bank. FSB wants to supercharge your week, so grab your coffee and get ready for a financial jumpstart with these helpful Money Mondays tips from our experts at FSB.
There are so many different kinds of businesses. Hi, I'm Annie Lampe with FSB. No matter what you make, service, or sell at your operation, I always recommend business owners think strategically. Consider these questions. Where are you going? What does that finish line look like? Are you doing what it takes to get there? At FSB, we work with companies of all sizes to help them meet their financial goals. We do a great job to help you do a great job, because your success is our success.
Money Mondays, getting your week off and running with intelligent financial advice to help you get ready for what's next. Farmers State Bank, providing you with faster answers, stronger partnerships, and better banking solutions. Explore your future with FSB at myfsbonline.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today, or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever, with $14 million in guaranteed prizes, only at Circa Sports. Enter Nevada, play from anywhere. Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, where you make five picks against the spread each week with 100% payback. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Anyone who has ever needed self-storage knows what a hassle it can be. You have to rent or borrow a truck and then find someone to help you move your stuff. And let's face it, moving furniture and heavy items without damaging them isn't easy. Renting the unit is worse. The hidden fees and admin costs are scarier than the dingy facilities you're leaving your stuff in. Why not use Closet Box instead? Closet Box is self-storage without leaving home. They'll pick up your belongings, store them securely, and bring any item back when you need it. The best part? Unlike traditional self-storage, you only pay for what you store. No paying for unused storage space. Closet Box's background check storage movers are licensed, bonded, and insured, and will take care of all of the heavy lifting. Closet Box's local storage centers are temperature controlled and monitored 24/7. Closet Box has an A+ rating from the BBB. Call 877-233-5696 now for the season's best rates. Get $50 off first month storage using code RADIO50. That's 877-233-5696. 877-233-5696.
Back at 2:37, Spencer on Sports for a Monday, 14th day of August of 2023, 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way, as I mentioned, 3 to 3 till 4. Todd Brommelkamp show from 4 until 6. A couple other college sports notes. This ties into our poll question at KGYMradio.com as well, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Poll question, will you buy tickets on the secondary market to see the Iowa women's basketball team play this year? Yes or no? You're probably going to have to if you want to. The Iowa women's basketball team announcing season tickets are sold out. The entire home season. Insane. Isaac's pointing at him. He's the cool cat.
I've got him.
He's got season tickets.
Yes, I do.
So,
well, I don't know how, but
how did you?
Luckily, I think we just got it in right before everyone started.
Let's let's buy these tickets.
Yeah, we did it. But I don't know. I can't remember when they said they had to close submissions. Was it the Final Four or was it the Elite Eight? I can't remember. But we got it in, I think, before the tournament started.
Okay.
So
you like, this could be something special, so we want to see it. So
yeah,
we are
very lucky that we got
it.
I'm a student anyway, so I think I should be able to get some student tickets. I would have been able to get some student tickets anyway.
You're not going to double up. You're not going to buy student seats.
No,
and,
no, no.
Okay,
of course not.
That's not fair.
I got season tickets.
If you know someone who needs tickets, Isaac's your man. 319-36 No, wait.
I did tell you that I would share with you.
I know, some
weekday games.
See, but
I could
sign up for a credential and seating. Yeah. Although the media lots of media coming in probably to cover the team.
So I'd imagine it's pretty hot. Yeah,
gotta wait for that credential link. But 15, as the tweet says from Iowa women's basketball, 15,000 strong all season long. And if you want to see a game, there are secondary market sources that will likely be your friend. But you can vote on the poll question at KGYMradio.com. On the men's side, the Iowa men, a little bit of a challenge today against the Barcelona All-Stars and their European trip. But Iowa having a big second half, winning 106-79 today. Peyton Sanford with 16 and 14. Ben Cricky with 16. DeSante Bowen also chipping in 16 points in the win for Iowa. 319-366-1600. All right, let's get into this. Our good, bad, and the ugly from the sports weekend. Brand new segment. Started this last week. Kind of having some fun with stuff you saw from the sports weekend that you're like, hey, that's pretty cool. Or, boy, what happened there? And I'd love to hear your nominations. You can chime in on the Talker text line. Pardon me. 319-366-1600. I love having to clear my throat like halfway through a sentence. It's always great. But you could chime in at 319-366-1600. I'm not going to lie, I had a tough time picking out these categories. Now, I have categories all picked out, good, bad, and ugly. I feel like my bad category could also be ugly, and my ugly could also kind of be bad, but I switched the two around at the last minute because I didn't feel like what I had for ugly was fair to call bad. You'll find out why coming up in just a bit. But for good, I went with, and you might, Isaac, you might need to check my temperature or have like some sort of evaluation done on me, but I am going to talk about a Chicago team and a Chicago player for the second time as my good, second time in as many weeks of this segment. As my good, and I'm going to lump it in just because I can, with my guy Jordan Love, the quarterback for the Packers. My good is NFC North young QBs, and I will get to Jordan Love coming up in just a moment. But Justin Fields, and again, I know it's preseason; it's a largely meaningless game. But Justin Fields was, and the Bears' offense number one offense was downright impressive on Saturday. I had a chance to watch a good chunk of that game against the Titans. Again. Is there a lot you can glean from it? Likely not, but Justin Fields' final stat line, 3 of 3, 129 yards passing, and 2 touchdowns, a 62-yarder to DJ Moore. I know Bears fans hoping that connection, which you've seen already once in the preseason, will stay a viable connection all season long. The 62-yard touchdown pass to DJ Moore, and then a 56-yarder to Khalil Herbert, both in the first quarter of Saturday's 23-17 win over the Titans on Saturday. Justin Fields saying this about his preseason debut and talking about how his teammates are helping to make his job as QB1 for Chicago pretty darn easy.
Oh, good, you know. I don't think I had to do too much work today. You know, I throw up 2 screens and they go for about 50, 60 yards. So Khalil and DJ made my job easy and the O-line did, so definitely thankful for that, for sure. When you have, you know, guys that can, you know, take a 3-yard pass, 50 yards, that just makes my job easier. So, you know, it's always good to have playmakers like that on the team and, you know, just competing with each other every day, competing with the defense every day, that's just going to make us better. So, but, you know, as a quarterback, that's always good to have playmakers like that, for sure.
Is that his head coach, Matt Eberflus, assessing the game in this way?
Today was a really good a day to finish the week, you know, because I thought that you know, our week was a good week of practice. And in terms of the operation today in the game, I thought we were really good with the offense. You know, there's no penalties for the first offense. The defense operated well. You know, we end up dropping the coverage on one of the plays and, you know, need to do a better job on forcing the ball on the other one. But overall, I thought they did a nice job. Defensively, I thought we attacked the football well. I thought we really rushed the passer better than we had. So you can see some improvements there. Overall, good day, good operation. I thought we took a step forward today, and we're looking forward to next week.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus there after the win over the Tennessee Titans on Saturday. Again, Fields 129 yards and two touchdowns in the game as the Bears won that one. You add that into the good category for me for this week. You add Jordan Love into that as well. Not the same, you know, perfect stat line as Justin Fields, but again, considering it's preseason, considering it's his first game action since the loss at Philadelphia, really first time going up against, you know, a full speed kind of defense, despite, you know, it probably being a bunch of borderline first teamers and second teamers. I thought Jordan Love played pretty well on Friday against Cincinnati. Saw a couple series, 7 of 10, 46 yards and a touchdown pass in the preseason opener in the 36-19 win over the Bengals on Friday. So again, not much you could take away considering it's just the preseason, but I think overall some good things from both performances for Jordan Love and from Justin Fields. Here's the new QB1 up in Green Bay talking about his performance and the team's performance in that win over the Bengals on Friday night.
We played well. I think all the, you know, past game was in stride. Obviously we had that one down the sideline to Christian where the safety made a really good play on it. But other than that, I think those two series that I had obviously came away with that touchdown at the end. So I was happy about that. And then obviously going forward after that, I think everybody played really well.
Jordan Love there from postgame in Cincinnati. So my good for the week is the young QBs in the NFC North. I think both Fields and Love had pretty solid performances in their preseason debuts. I did do an honorable mention, by the way, Atlanta's Matt Olson. I was watching some baseball highlights from the weekend. Matt Olson's having a fantastic season, especially swinging the bat. Olson, two home runs on Saturday, part of a 21-3 win for the Braves over the Mets in game one of a doubleheader. He added another last night in the loss to the Mets on Sunday Night Baseball. Matt Olson's got 43 home runs on the season, still ahead of Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani's at, what, 41 now after the weekend? Olson on pace for 59 home runs, which would easily pass the previous Braves record set by Andrew Jones. That's my honorable mention of the good for the week, but overall sticking with football for number one. As I said, my bad moment for the weekend, it could go on under ugly too, but I didn't think my ugly really fit with bad, so I kind of flip-flopped them. But my bad is a little fun with stats. Isaac, you ready for some fun with stats here? This is an interesting piece. I saw this from ESPN Stats and Info. As we know, the Oakland A's and the New York Yankees even are having seasons to forget, right? The A's, 33-85. They're 37 games out of first place in the AL West. Their run differential, -284. -284 run differential for the Oakland A's. Yeah, breaking news. The A's are bad, right? The Yankees are 60-58. They're last place on the hyper-competitive AL East, 12.5 games back of Baltimore. Those are not the reasons I'm including them on Good, Bad, and the Ugly this week. Both teams made some bad history yesterday by each blowing 7-1 leads. They each, in their respective games, had 7-1 advantages over the Nationals and Marlins, respectively, and lost the game. The A's led 7-1. The A's were up 7-1 against the Nationals, gave up a run in the seventh and then six in the ninth, losing on the walk-off single by Jeter Downs. The Yankees, meanwhile, they led 7-1 after the top of the sixth, gave up a run in the bottom of the sixth, a run in the eighth, and then five in the ninth to lose to the Marlins. A couple former AL Central legends, using legends kind of tongue-in-cheek, Luis Arraez. You could call him a really good player in the AL Central when he was with the Twins, but Jake Berger, former White Sox, drove in Luis Arraez to win the game for the Marlins against the Yankees yesterday as they both blew 7-1 leads. ESPN Stats and Info, the part that I found from them that made it really kind of a fun with stats moment for me. According to them, teams trailing by four runs or more in the ninth were a record of 3-759. Going into the day yesterday. And Sunday was the first day with multiple four-run comebacks in the ninth or later since July of 2010. It's been a long time since we had that much futility on the baseball field that late in a baseball game. But the Yankees and the A's managed to do it. I expected from the A's, the Yankees, I guess I don't pay a ton of attention to them, but and haven't this year, but still embarrassing regardless. And my ugly for the week has a wrap up good, bad, and the ugly for a Monday afternoon. I thought it was unfair to call the performances by the top rookie QBs bad. They weren't good, but it was preseason. It's their first NFL action, so I can't really call it quote-unquote bad. So I put it in the ugly category this week. If you were expecting top-tier QBs like a Bryce Young or a C.J. Stroud or even an Anthony Richardson to really wow in their preseason debut, I really didn't get that. Bryce Young, 4 of 6, 21 yards in a 27-0 loss to the Jets. C.J. Stroud was 2 of 4 for 13 yards. Win over the Patriots, I should say, last week Thursday. Anthony Richardson, the Colts losing to the Bills over the weekend. Richardson, 7 of 12 for 67 yards and a pick. And Will Levis in the loss to the Bears on Saturday. Levis, 9 of 14 for 85 yards and an interception. So lots of ugly there. I think they're going to improve over time. I think as they get, like, pieces around them, like the starting offensive line unit, starting receivers, starting running backs, and so on and so forth, I think we're going to see improvement, especially for the guys that are expected to start at some point this year, like a Young, a Stroud, and a Richardson. With Levis, you don't know. It depends on Malik Willis and obviously Ryan Tannehill in front of him in Tennessee. But that was my ugly. If you're expecting Bryce Young to come out slinging and throw for 355 yards, A, it's preseason. You're never going to see that. But B, it is what it is at this point. You're going to see improvement from them, at least I predict, here in the season. It turns out the best rookie QB performances were actually some of the later round guys. Stetson Bennett had a nice game against the Chargers. The Rams lost that one, but Stetson Bennett looked pretty good. Dorian Thompson-Robinson again. The Browns, you saw him in the Hall of Fame game against the Jets. He was not bad. Sean Clifford, Packers backup. He had two picks, the pick six, so not great there, but did lead some scoring drives against the Bengals in the second half. And Aiden O'Connell, Purdue's own Aiden O'Connell, yesterday. The Raiders blowing out the 49ers yesterday. O'Connell, 15 of 18 for a 141 and a touchdown. So some of the guys that weren't drafted this high had better days than the guys that were drafted pretty high in the draft. But again, you're not going to see those guys, the lower round draft picks, many of them here in the upcoming season. So I think they're given probably a longer leash than the starters, right? You don't want to get your presumed starter here injured. If you're Carolina, if you're Houston, going into the rest of the preseason. So that's my good, bad, and the ugly from the weekend. Your nominations always welcome through a 936-6-1600. 251 coming up on 252. Quick 60-second break. Back to wrap it up after this here on KGYM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Increase your vehicle's performance and gas mileage with Lucas Fuel Treatment at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply add it to your tank at your next fill-up to eliminate carbon and varnish deposits. Right now, get two bottles of Lucas Fuel Treatment for $10. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Dell Technologies Back to School event is on, with deals on top tech for class, hobbies, and more. Now, when you buy, you support a cause. With every eligible purchase, Dell will donate to UNICEF in support of GIGA, a UNICEF ITU global initiative to connect schools across the globe to the internet. Accidental damage protection included. Get rare deals on select laptops and desktops powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Save now at Dell.com/deals. UNICEF does not endorse any company, brand, product, or service.
Back at 253, Spencer at Sports with you here on KGYM, 319-366-1600, 64-41, nominating an ugly for the weekend, the Miami Dolphins. Appreciate that, 64-41, Dolphins losing 19-3 to the Atlanta Falcons. Skylar Thompson, two picks. Mike White, Jets legend, Jets outcast Mike White, 85 yards and a pick. Again, it's just preseason, but at the same time, you like your team to show a little bit better than that. I was pleasantly surprised with the Packers. Usually they don't try all that hard in the preseason. So to see them go out and score touchdowns and despite the mistakes, kind of really take it to the Bengals, I was I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw on Friday with Green Bay and Cincinnati. These week two of the preseason, I should say, starts up here Thursday night. The Eagles hosting the Browns. Also got the Giants and the Panthers, the Bengals and the Falcons coming up on Friday. Packers have the Patriots. The Vikings have the Titans. The Chiefs, who lost to the Saints yesterday, they've got the Arizona Cardinals. And the Bears are in Indy. So you got Anthony Richardson taking on the Bears there coming up here this weekend. Also have Monday night preseason football a week from tonight. Everybody's got to have a trial run, right? Even the Monday night crew's got to have a trial run. The Washington Commanders and the Baltimore Ravens. We've actually got Sunday night preseason, too. Not the same feel as true Sunday night or Monday night football, or Thursday night for that matter. But you've got the Chargers and the Saints here coming up on Sunday night. Did you see that story, Isaac? The Saints kicker, the rookie kicker out of Notre Dame, he... Not only did he get stopped going down to the field for warmups by security, he also got stopped coming off the field because they didn't know who he was.
Oh, goodness.
The security at the Superdome was like, wait, who are you? Why are you doing? Why are you on the field? What are you doing? You can't be down here. Actually, I'm the backup kicker. I'm the rookie kicker. He made the game-winning field goal to beat the Chiefs.
Off the field?
And he still got stopped coming off the field because the security guards thought he was a fan that it was on the field. Number one, why would a fan be on the field celebrating a preseason win for the Chiefs? Or for anybody, for that matter. And then apparently he's like, yeah, I got stopped coming off the field because they thought I was a drunk fan who got on the field. Like,
I understand coming onto the field.
Well, apparently,
maybe.
Coming onto the field, they asked him, where's your credential? They thought he was a member of the media.
Oh, gosh.
Like, actually, I'm on the team.
But yeah,
you're kind of rooting for him to make the team now, aren't you? Like,
yeah, you got
to to actually make the team. So like,
if he does, he's never gonna let whatever those security people like live it down.
Remember
at
that
all.
Time you thought I was some inebriated fan?
Remember when I scored the game winning field goal and you said I couldn't, like, tried to stop me from coming off the field and stuff?
Go to the locker room. Yeah, I saw that earlier today. Like, what? I mean, to be fair, like. These security guys probably see so many guys cycle through, so it's tough for them. Unless you're Drew Brees or Michael Thomas or Derek Carr or, you know, whoever on the Saints, you know, unless you're a name player, not, you know, to offend the younger guys who are on the roster bubble. That's life in the NFL for you, that's for sure. All right, that'll wrap up the program for today. Thanks for hanging out. Gym class is coming up next between 3 and 4. Todd Brown will camp back between 4 and 6. Enjoy the rest of your Monday afternoon.